The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro at 10:35. South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys. Today's a Veterans Day on the show. We've got Vaccaro and we've got Goody. Goody at the movies, AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic Bill Goody Koontz. He saw a movie, actually. How about that? And we have the NFL Sunday Games, Gillette's Toxic Masculinity ad, which I saw Bill drop a razor in the toilet. Like, come on, Bill, really? Eric, have you seen Bill over on AZ Central lately, how they're doing like this total makeover?
A little bit. I just saw it on his Twitter thing.
I'm thinking that he's
profile handle.
I'm thinking timeline. He's going to start having like a makeup artist, and they're really trying to reshape his image.
He's going to be doing more sports, he said.
Really?
Yeah. You'll have to ask him about that.
What is that all about? Do you know?
I don't.
He's going to be doing more. I'm going to make a note here. More sports, Bill. But he did see a movie this week, right? We didn't get that clear. He did see a movie? All right. So I'll have Goody at the movies. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that means through life insurance. Guys, I got my license. I was back in late October. And it's pretty cool helping people with their financial sides of things. Yeah, I have my license. I can talk to you about life insurance. I can talk to you about annuities. I can just talk to you about where you're at in the space of life. I met with someone yesterday who's going through some tough stuff personally. And it was a conversation that just led him to ask me, what do you think about this product that I'm looking at and considering? And if you go to online at Sagicor.com or Sagicor Now, just go there. You can log on and get all sorts of information and make some decisions for yourself. Get some guidance, obviously, and protect what matters most. It's very simple. If something were to happen to you today, you were to get wiped out, is everything handled? That's it. Plain and simple. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. I think the story of the day, and we're going to talk about this coming up at 10:20 in greater detail, is yesterday the two of the big quarterbacks at the high school level that are going on to college, and how both of them have been, haven't been. They'll both say nothing's changed. It's fine. Of course they're going to say that. But I think things changed yesterday for Spencer Rattler, and I think things changed last week for Jack Miller, two quarterbacks that get a lot of attention. And we'll talk about that coming up at 10:20. Also at 10:20, Arizona State opens spring football, and I'll tell you why one of the quarterbacks that you wouldn't necessarily think goes into spring, from what I'm hearing, as the starter. And we'll just talk about it. It doesn't mean he's going to finish as a starter, but I'll explain that coming up here in a little bit. Tonight, we have Arizona State and Oregon State and U of A and Oregon in Tucson tonight for the Wildcats and the Sun Devils in downtown Tempe. And for both programs, I'm not going to sit here and make a mountain out of every last game, especially those in January. You're only as good as your last game. So if that's the case, Arizona State wasn't good in their last game. They weren't. They missed a bunch of free throws. They clanked a bunch. Arizona State is 62% from the free throw stripe this season. That's not good. Arizona State's backcourt play, in my opinion, has had some rough stretches here as of late. Finding a point guard in January, finding that person that can distribute and score and play the position smart and well, and when the game is on the line and you're down one with the ball, as is going to happen in all likelihood in Vegas or wherever the first round or second round of the NCAAs are. Unless Arizona State falls completely, totally off the map, they're going to go to the postseason because they had such a strong preseason. I can't sit here and say that they're going to go winless the rest of the way and they're not going to make it through the conference. That's not going to happen. Famous last words, we're rolling tape on this. But I think that if you look at where Bobby's team is today, this is all about where are you going to be in 6 weeks. Even if you're going to put a lineup out on the floor, you're going to say, okay, I can't watch this for about the next 2 minutes, but I have to try it. Coaches do that. Really good, smart coaches will look at a lineup and say, I've got to do something different. Bobby did that in the game against Colorado. Looked at what happened against Utah. What do you know? Brought a couple of his guys off the bench. It worked out. I think in the course of the next few weeks, months, it's can you play more than one big on the floor at the same time? Can you get to a point where you have a big lineup? Because in the NCAAs, you're going to have those teams you run into that are physical. They're going to pound you around on the floor. I think ASU is better in that than they were a year ago. Where they're not as well right now, is where they think they've regressed or they're trying to figure themselves out, is probably the better way, is at the point guard position. So I'm going to be watching that tonight. U of A, and I've full disclosure, I've seen two full U of A games here in the last month. So I can't make a blanket statement as to where they are. I think they're getting better. To me, when I watch Brandon Williams on the floor, he looks like he's playing with a lot of confidence. I like the way that he plays. Emmanuel Acott leaves for the U of A. And so how does that program respond tonight now that he has departed from the program? They have a young team, very young team. There's not a whole lot of experience there. That is through the one and dones. Guys that have come in that have left the program, guys that really haven't found themselves yet. I'd say Alex Barcelo is one of those players that really hasn't figured it out, though he scored 6 points late in their game over the weekend in a blowout in their final game there. So maybe he takes that as a little bit to build on. If you remember the TJ McConnell transfer, TJ McConnell came into the U of A and he didn't play very well initially. By the time TJ McConnell left, he was great. He was a head coach on the floor. He figured it out. He got it figured out off the court as well as on the court. And TJ McConnell became a player that is now still in the NBA getting it done with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not saying Alex Barcelo is going to be that guy, but I do believe that a kid that has a little bit of success, maybe that's what turns the corner for him. So you look at both the games tonight, and they're both mid-January. This isn't the end of the world, but you want to stack victory on top of victory. I think this year in college basketball, we saw it the other night with Duke with a bunch of injuries, and Syracuse was able to ambush them at home. The college basketball this year, yeah, Zion Williamson is a beast and a half. If you put Zion Williamson, Eric, have you seen Duke?
Yep, I have.
Have you played the what would he look like next to DeAndre game yet, given where the Suns are?
Yeah, I have. Yeah? I like it. And I like the fact that people are already just saying that DeAndre Ayton was such a horrible pick at number one and Doncic is so much better, and it could be the case, but, you know.
There's some truth in that.
But, you know, Doncic was taken.
January.
He wasn't taken second, so there are other teams that passed on him. But I do think DeAndre Ayton is having somewhat of an underrated year if you look at the big picture. I mean, it's not like he's averaging 6 points and four rebounds. He's averaging a double-double.
Yeah.
He's putting up stats that put him in a pretty elite company when you're talking about big men in their first year in the NBA.
Yeah.
But he's not as splashy as Doncic.
Okay, so the Suns, from a record standpoint, have 11 wins. I think they're 11-33 coming into the game against Toronto tonight, which they should win, by the way. Toronto played last night at Boston, put a lot of energy on the floor. So they're catching Toronto in a back-to-back.
Yeah, but can you really say that about the Suns?
Yeah, I can.
Did you see him the other night? Kawhi, they lost by 30-some-odd points to start the road trip, not to end the road trip.
Kawhi Leonard's got to be focused tonight. I'm calling a Suns win tonight. I feel good for these my Suns tonight. They're such a good team. They're so much fun to watch. Devin Booker off the floor. There's been a lot on the internet that I have not addressed that people said, why aren't you addressing what's going on with Devin Booker off the court?
Yeah, those people need to get a life.
I'm just going to tell you we're not addressing it. So it's not there. There's just all sorts of stuff swirling around that shouldn't impact his time on the playing court. This is nothing legal, by the way, at this point. So we'll see. So there's that. James Harden last night scored 58 and they lost. When James Harden was at ASU and walked in with his Levi shorts and t-shirt and backpack on and just hit a couple jump shots for fun, I never would have in my wildest dreams imagined he would be a future Hall of Famer, scoring machine. Yeah, he travels some, and he doesn't play much defense. I don't care. If you guys want to nitpick on things, just look at what he does on an offensive output most every night. It's sick. It's just flat crazy what he does. And last night, even in a loss, he was terrific. All right, on the other side, we're going to do some recruiting stuff. There's some news around ASU, I do believe, that should be addressed when it comes to the late signing period. There's one of the quarterbacks at ASU that I believe has the inside track to be the starting quarterback, at least when camp opens. I'll explain that. Plus, Jack Miller will be in this next segment, and Spencer Rattler, for various reasons. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. So the this time of year where transfers happen in college football, in particular quarterback. Texas Christian University has a transfer quarterback who left Kansas State, was going to go to UTEP, and then put on Twitter, change of plans, I am now going to go to TCU. Miami gets a quarterback who was at Ohio State, who didn't get the opportunity because Ohio State got a transfer in from Georgia, so he leaves. He ends up going to Miami. Then you have a quarterback who was at Alabama, who won a couple of national championships. And what do you know? He shows up at Oklahoma. And then the quarterback who transferred from Georgia, who went to Ohio State. There's a quarterback here in Phoenix who's in high school still as a junior that's already committed to Ohio State. And, of course, there's a quarterback over at Pinnacle High School who's committed to Oklahoma. If it sounds confusing, it's meant to be.
I'll confuse you a little more. Don't forget that the backup quarterback last year at Oklahoma is now going to be the starting quarterback at West Virginia. So you have two quarterbacks potentially starting at different schools in the same conference next year.
And you had a quarterback at Arizona State who came over from Alabama, and it didn't work out at Arizona State. So he transferred down to Central Florida.
Correct.
And he
– I think South Florida.
South Florida. Quarterback transfers are now the norm. I'm of the opinion that by the time we get to through spring ball at ASU, there are currently four quarterbacks on the roster at Arizona State. In my humble opinion, when they open camp, they will say things like Dylan Sterling Cole is the starting quarterback today because he's been there. Whether I agree with that or not, on principle, they're going to say that. And then Jaden Daniels is going to go out, and Jody Yellens, and the four of them are going to go out there. And by the time we get through camp, I am guessing by, I don't know, mid-March, because I think camp ends early for them, like March 4th. By the time we get to, I don't know, April, one of those four, maybe even two of those four, leave. Leaving as a quarterback and bouncing around now has become the norm. Quarterback at Eastern Washington is going to go to Washington State. This is probably news to Gunnar Cruz, who committed and is driven up to Pullman, and Washington State already has like four other quarterbacks on their roster. The problem with this is it's going to have a trickle-down effect, because it always does have a trickle-down effect from college to high schools. There will be crazy dads who take kid and move kid around to chase best opportunity for the kid. Sometimes it works out. Many times it does not. For every time a kid moves around, I really respect how Jack Miller has handled himself at Chaparral. Chaparral did not win at 6A. I don't believe Chaparral to start out next season is going to be favored to win at 6A. It's not a shot at them. It's just a fact. They have a lot to prove. And yet, Eric, he's not leaving. We haven't heard anything about that.
No. He's not leaving.
Other
players have left Chaparral.
Other players, yes.
He's running back and Chaparral and a wide receiver and a couple others. But he's not going anywhere.
But in the case of J.D. Denson over at Pinnacle.
J.D. Johnson.
J.D. Johnson. I always said Denson. He's going to Michigan. And he stuck it out at Pinnacle behind Spencer Rattler when Spencer Rattler wasn't on the field. Then he had his opportunity to play. And he showed himself, and it was fine for him to sit and wait and get his opportunity.
Yep, but he had Division I Power 5 offers before he even took a snap at Pinnacle.
He went the quarterback route with quarterback camps.
Right.
And the quarterback camps found him. Ben Finley is over at Paradise Valley.
Yep.
That's a program you've done some stories on. Ben Finley was offered by Arizona State. People forget that. Before they offered Jaden Daniels, they offered Ben Finley here in state, and he went to North Carolina State.
And these are all commits. So they're not signed, sealed, and delivered. These are all 2020 quarterbacks. So
Spencer,
let's clarify all of this.
Yeah, no.
So all three of those guys you mentioned, Finley, J.D. Johnson, and Jack Miller, are all going to be seniors next year.
And Chuba Purdy over at Perry probably should be in that conversation.
Yep, he got an offer too. Good for him.
Yeah. So this leads us to Spencer Rattler. Let's just start there with Oklahoma. So Oklahoma gets Jalen Hurts to transfer in. Jalen Hurts wins a couple of national championships at Alabama. Tua comes along. Jalen ends up being behind him. Jalen becomes a grad out of Alabama. He puts himself out there. They have a transfer portal now he puts himself into. And before you know it, yesterday the news comes out, Jalen Hurts is going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma had already landed a verbal commitment and then signed agreement, signed deal, it's important to Eric's point, with Spencer Rattler. I am sure that the Spencer Rattler camp is going to say, I welcome the competition, this will be great, what are they going to say? But when all the buildup and all the hype was, you're going to be the guy that replaces Kyler Murray, and, well, no, that's not really how it works.
And there's no way that Jalen Hurts is not going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, it's just Jalen Hurts did not transfer to Oklahoma to sit behind a true freshman quarterback. And my guess is when he sat down with Lincoln Riley, talked on the phone, whatever, it's, you know, I've won national championships. I am your guy. And I'm sure Lincoln Riley was like, you are our guy.
Okay, let me flip that around on you. Lincoln Riley reached out to Jalen Hurts. Please come here. Let's play. You're the guy. Come on in. Make it happen. I don't think it was Jalen Hurts having to sell
but
a thing
I don't know.
Riley.
Like, however it went, I just think that, you know, Spencer Rattler's a great quarterback. He's super talented. There's a reason why he's the number one rated dual threat quarterback in the country. But
didn't finish the regular season at Pinnacle for a myriad of reasons that have never really come out.
But Jalen Hurts is not going to go somewhere where he has not been assured that he is the starter. Unless he gets hurt or unless he just completely goes backwards, he is going to be the guy next year in Norman.
Yes. And so usually quarterbacks are going to find their space of, do I want to stay here forever or do I want to move on? When Oregon, it looked like their quarterback was going to enter into the NFL draft, I'm sure Tyler Shuck was thinking, I'm going to get my shot next year. And then it didn't happen. Tyler's staying at Oregon. There's a lot of kids that would have said, I am out of here. I need to be on the field to show what I can do in order to get to the next level. That's just how it is in the world of quarterbacks. Spencer's going to go to Oklahoma, and he is a very talented quarterback. But I have to believe that for Lincoln Riley, he had to look at Spencer Rattler and say, I can't win with him immediately.
Or Rattler is the backup and Oklahoma plays in so many blowouts that he gets his feet wet but doesn't have to be the guy under the gun.
Or he could play in 3-4 games
right.
Under the new
redshirt rule.
Yep. And he gets some experience and it's better just to bring him along slowly. You could go that route too. But you know the Rattler family. I don't know what their reaction was sitting around the dinner table when they first got this bit of news, but just based on how I've seen that whole thing unfold, I have to believe there's like, they're doing what? But that's just me. I'm not there.
And
just
the tough part of it is that, you know, with these quarterbacks, only one can play. So you really have to be careful and be selective about the school you pick. If you're a running back and you transfer, if you're a wide receiver, if you're good, you're going to play because multiple running backs and multiple wide receivers can play. Unfortunately, with quarterbacks, only one gets to play.
Okay, so let's go over to Jack Miller. So Jack Miller, different scenario to your point. He is just a junior, and that's why I wrote a little bit on this yesterday about I admire that he's at Chaparral. It's not what it once was. It's not a terrible school. It's not even an average school. It's one of the better high schools to get noticed at. He's gotten noticed to the point that Ohio State offered him, and he said he's going to come. But he did give that verbal to a different head coach. Doesn't matter to me. The coach that is there now was part of the staff. Doesn't matter. If he's all in on the school, take football out of the equation. Injury happens tomorrow and you're never able to play again. Are you at the school that is going to get you to the next level for the next 20, 30 years? That's the question. When the Buckeyes get a transfer in from Georgia and they give the impression that you're ready to go, well, that kid may be there a year, 2 years. I don't know. Is Jack Miller now in a space where he plays next season and prepared to redshirt or go through what Spencer's probably going to go through, which is you're going to play in some blowout games because you're at Ohio State? Or it's pretty easy to go on Twitter in January and say, yeah, I'm all in at Ohio State. It's a different deal on December 20th of next year. The pressures change. The landscape changes. I don't know what the landscape will look like. They don't know what the landscape will look like. Nobody knows what the landscape will look like when it comes to football. Okay, the Ohio State University is a terrific place to go get your education, but so are schools out here. The first time a quarterback decides to stay in Arizona and either go to the U of A or ASU, the first time any of them, and they light it up, they compete, you know, there's going to be a player. Ryan Kelly was the last one from Bash. He went to ASU. He never saw the light of day on the field. He did not light it up. Ryan Keeley, when he was at St. Mary's and he went to ASU, there was a lot of buildup, a lot of hype, didn't work out. Danny White's probably the last great Arizona high school quarterback that lit it up. When there's another one that decides to do it, it's going to turn the program on its ear because it's a local kid who stayed home to make it happen. It's one thing for N'Keal Harry or Terrell Suggs. That's all well and good and fine. Todd Heap, great names. But none of them have been a quarterback that have come here and been a Heisman Trophy hopeful or a first-round pick. That hasn't happened. It's all these out-of-state guys. And it's one of the things why the stadiums are half full, because there's not that attraction from the high school kid to the college level. It just hasn't been. We'll talk NFL playoffs next with Jimmy Vaccaro. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it is a championship Sunday coming up, so we have to go to Vegas and check in with Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director, good friend of the show. Right over it takes like 4 hours to get from here to Vegas by car, 50 minutes by plane. You want to head up there to Vegas and make sure you go to the South Point, see Jimmy and company. Saints, Jimmy, 3.5-point favorite. Over under 57, Saints-Rams Championship Sunday view in Vegas.
Well, what can I tell you, my friend? It's been a wild, wild NFL playoffs, and some of the endings have been incredible. The matchups have been incredible, and here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, right down the line. Currently, as we speak, my friend, both home teams are a 3-point favorite. The only difference is one of them has a 57.5 total, 156.5. I imagine you'll probably see this through the weekend. We get to Sunday, might be a little bit of a change, but right now it's just like one guy bets one side, the other guy bets the other side. I've never seen an evenly matched game as I've seen so far this week.
Is it trusting Breeze more than Goff in the Rams-Saints game, Jimmy, if we're just talking on the field?
Yes, it surely has. And first of all, the first like 75,000 we took was at -3.5. So we went to +3.5, and you would be surprised there. There's a lot of people buying back to +3.5. Some just for the value, because obviously these games could come right down to the wire. And 3 is such a valuable number. So we've seen a lot of buybacks when it does get to 3.5 on both of these games. But I would think by kickoff that I'm guessing that we'll need both road teams for a fair size bet.
Ah, that's good stuff. On the Patriots end, Tom Brady has not won on the road in a playoff game since 06. Patrick Mahomes trying to work his magic. Just size up these two quarterbacks, Jimmy, what it means.
Well, I can't really get into that, to the idea of understanding what makes somebody good this early in their career. But to Mahomes' kids, just like a magician, what he's done with the balls is simply incredible. I haven't seen nothing like that. I'm sure you have either, my friend, in all these years. But you're going against an outfit that knows what the hell they're doing. Will they be prepared? Yes. Brady, the little chink in there, like, you know, nobody wants us, nobody wants to bet on us, that type of thing. Him and Edelman. I guarantee you this, my friend. They'll show up. Yeah. We'll see what happens when they show up.
Good stuff there, Jimmy, as always. Thanks. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, buddy.
Take care. There's Jimmy Vaccaro over there at the South Point Resort and Casino. And make sure you stop in there. It's good people. We'll have Goody at the movies here in a few minutes. So Cliff Kingsbury, I want to dial this back a little bit, and because we get so fast in the news cycle that we don't really marinate on something. It feels to me like the Bruce Arians hire over Cliff Kingsbury, it's been decidedly on a national stage. Wow, what a great move by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go get Bruce Arians. And man, are the Cardinals a bunch of idiots for getting Cliff Kingsbury. That's the narrative that I feel on a national space. It's hard to dispute that in Kingsbury's case, because the only way he's going to be able to shut anybody up, and he alluded to this the day that they hired him, is by being able to go out on the field and handle it and show that he can get the job done. I understand that. It's still, to me, frustrating, I guess, because I saw Bruce Arians at the end here, and he was tired. Bruce Arians was done. I don't know if that was he was done with Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell. That happens in pro sports where ownership and management and a head coach eventually, in most cases, the Greg Popoviches of the world, the Bill Belichicks of the world, even Nick Saban on the collegiate end, they've had a great run of success. That's why you admire them. But usually it doesn't end well. If you look at the Cardinals and their coaches through the years, average lifespan of a Cardinal coach in Arizona is 3.1 years. A lot of those numbers are skewed to early before Michael came on board. And they just went from coach to coach to coach because that's what they like to do. Steve Wilks didn't help that number because he didn't even make it to year number two. And I was fine with what they did to Wilks. But if you're one of those that gets all protective about, wow, my team, the Cardinals, they're getting ripped and ridiculed, get used to it. Okay, this is how it's going to be here in the offseason. Peter King was with us last week and alluded to, do the Cardinals want Larry Fitzgerald back? The Cardinals would surely outwardly not say anything about Larry Fitzgerald when talking about his future in those terms. But privately, if Peter is suggesting that, then because he's so tied in, I have to believe he's heard that. And I've actually heard that. I'm not nearly a Peter King. That there is the, look, you could go get a couple of wide receivers or other players at positions and take what Larry is going to want and split it in half and go get two players for the price of one. There's a name out there that I've heard in the agent world. Golden Tate is a name that I've heard in the agent world, that there's some interest on him and whether the Cardinals are. Okay, so it's just a name. If Christian Kirk comes back healthy, and let's just assume for a moment that Larry Fitzgerald is not here, could you find other players to replace Fitz in terms of productivity? Now, leadership, catching, making plays, going out on the field every week and being a badass and a baller? No, that's not easy to do. That's just one name that's out there. And I think there's not going to be a shortage of receivers wanting to come to Arizona and play for Cliff Kingsbury. And you have to feel like Josh Rosen is going to get in there and do some recruiting as well. Goody at the Movies is next. Eric teased it earlier. Goody wants to talk more sports, is going to write more sports. Well, know what that's all about. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to turn our attention to Bill Goodykunst, Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film Media Critic. He actually did see a movie this week, but I have to start with breaking news with you.
Okay.
Breaking news. Eric said to me that you are going to start writing more sports. This to me is breaking news. Is this true? Do I have to rebrand the whole segment? I mean, what's going on?
You can do as you like, but I'm gonna do some more sports media type stuff. Some, not quite like what I used to do when I was. I mean, I had to be the most smart aleck sports columnist in Phoenix. I know that when I had this old column called Superfan, and I really gave people a hard time. The first time I ever met in person the Cardinals PR people back then, I honestly thought they were gonna hit me. It was at a Super Bowl, and they were working. You know how all the media people from different teams work at the Super Bowl, and they pitch in and do stuff. And I met them, and they turned red in the face, and I thought they were going to punch me, but they didn't.
That's funny.
It's not going to be quite like that. But it'll just have to. In fact, I'm going to have a. We're publishing tomorrow online. I chose the 10 best NFL broadcast teams of all time, and in anticipation of the conference championships.
So can I play Family Feud with you? Survey says.
Yeah, I'm not to tell you. I don't want to give the order, but I'll certainly tell you.
Some are all Madden.
What?
Some are all in Madden. They're on the list, right? As a team,
they're sure they're on the list.
Yeah. No. Let me think. Sam Rosen and Adam Archuleta, they're on the list.
They're not. You know why they're not? Because what was fun for me, and this was at first not as readily available as I'd hoped, but then it was. I found a place, you know, where I could find, you can find a list of all the teams throughout the years going back to, like, you know, like 1960 or something. But they, it was really fun to go back and look at some of these teams and just people that you heard when you were a kid and you weren't even really paying that much attention to it, you know. And some of them just sound, okay, I'll give this, I mean, I'm old, but Perfect Gowdy to me, when I hear his voice, sounds like football.
Sure.
I bet I hadn't thought of Kurt Gowdy in 20 years, you know. But when I started looking into this, it was interesting, and a lot of fun.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
No, they
didn't make the list.
Let me say this too. Contemporary teams are very lightly represented. Because I wanted, what a part of this is, it has to sort of stand the test of time. I'm a Gus Johnson fan. I like him. And I think he could make, you know, finger flick football sound like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I know some people hate that and think there's no place for it. I think it's good, but I don't think he's not yet, at least, an all timer.
Hank Stram.
Hank Stram is on my list.
Hank Stram's on your list.
Remember, these are teams. They're not just individuals. So that was important to me. Because Stram, another thing that you find interesting, you know, now they have these teams. And, the same two guys work together all season. They didn't used to do that.
Right.
And they didn't do that all the time with Summerall and Madden, even. I mean, and sometimes it was a travel issue, particularly with Madden. Or sometimes, you know, like Hank Stram had some health problems, like in the middle of a season,
and
stuff like that. But for a long time, they didn't. It wasn't like a set team the way that you think of it now. Like with the, you know, and the networks follow that. You know, they're number one team, they're number two team, they're number three team. They used to just kind of trot people out there and let them talk. That would be kind of fun still.
It would be kind of fun. Is there a female on the list?
There isn't, because they've been so poorly represented.
Yeah.
And this, by the way, this is only play-by-play and color.
And
this
color.
Is not sideline.
Sidelines, so no sideline. Okay, I got you.
I would have, if that were the case, I think would have included Pam Oliver. I think she's done it for a long time, and she's done it well. I remember talking to Melissa Stark once about that job, and she said, look, man, and she went to the University of Virginia, she's really smart, and she said, I'm a legitimate reporter, I work hard. But it's really frustrating because they want you are standing next to a guy with a clearly, like, broken leg, and they'll just say, you know, questionable. And, you know, you're sort of at the beck and call of the league since you're doing their game. And so I just thought that was kind of interesting. But this is just play-by-play and commentary.
All right. All right. Well, I'll look forward to that tomorrow. That'll be in AZ Central. You did see one movie.
I did.
Walk me through it.
It's called Capernaum, and it's in Arabic, and it is brutal. I'm sure.
Wait a minute. You saw a movie in Arabic?
Well, it had subtitles.
All right. I know you're
smart. My brother-in-law speaks Farsi. I should have gotten him to. I don't think they're exactly similar. Maybe. No, but it's really good. It's about this boy. It's about just this really impoverished family in Beirut, and it's mostly about this kid. He sues his parents for their crime is for having him and neglecting him. And it's just, I mean, it talks, the stuff in this, it's just like, you know, they're selling children, they're all this kind of stuff, and they're mostly non-actors. They're mostly just people that the director got to do this. And the guy who plays the boy, he thinks he's 12, but his parents didn't bother to ever, like, register him when he was born or anything. He's fantastic, and he had never acted before. He's just great. But I'll say this, you know how a lot of times people will say it's a really tough movie to watch, but boy, is it worth it. You know, this is worth it, but don't undersell the really tough to watch part.
No, I got you. It looks great. It looks great. Before you get out of here, Eric said, wrote on the notes, Gillette's toxic masculinity ad. I wanted to talk to you about Trump and hamburgers, and, you know, there's all sorts of goofy stuff that's got a little bit of a sports tie in, but okay, so let's go with the Gillette masculinity ad, because I saw you do something on social on that.
Yeah, I wrote about that there. Gillette did this ad, and, you know, for years, I did not realize this, it's been like for 30 years, their slogan has been the best a man can be or whatever. And
best a man can get. The best a man can get.
The best a man can get.
It's a jingle.
The best a man can get. This is why I'm not in advertising, because mine didn't rhyme. But they asked the question at the beginning of this, is this really the best a man can get? And it talks about just this, abuse, sexual abuse, bullying, harassment, and all these sort of things. And at the end, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's really well done. They say, maybe you step up and you do something about it, because the next generation is watching you, and maybe they'll turn out, and it's got these kids watching their dads do like a good noble thing or something. I thought it was really good, and there's been this incredible backlash against it. People like outraged, and I don't quite get why, because it's like they're saying, well, you're painting all men with the same brush. And it's like, it's a commercial. It's not. It's not a sociological study, and it's. And if you do not engage in this kind of behavior, I'm not sure what your problem is. I mean, why, what offends you? I don't know. But the backlash has just been incredible.
Is it like if Charles had said, I am not a role model in this day and age of social, what do you think would have happened?
Probably quite similar to what did happen, because you can remember the outrage and the S.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't just. There'd be a lot of dumb reaction.
Yes.
I'm sure there was. We just didn't know here at all. But I mean, boy, that's a good question, because that was really something,
Yep.
And
yep.
When he did that, and that was a different way of advertising. We're used to like Jordan soaring through, over traffic and dunking and stuff in these ads, and there's Barkley in this stark black and white ad saying like, "I am not a role model," and that was national news.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It made the evening news. I'll let you go off that. Enjoy your weekend. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All righty.
It was good at the movies and other stuff. Bill doing sports again. That superfan called back in the day, he was just unhinged. It was great. It was just, all right, go after people or have your own little spin on things. It's not like Bill brings a sledgehammer out. He brings a fly swatter at times too. So Devin Henry told me this morning, our chairman of the board, that his mom likes the Bill segment. So that's good stuff. I'm glad one person does. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. We hope you enjoy your Thursday. Thanks for being with us.